and welcome to the LRM podcast in association with Britpart. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I am Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. Apologies if we sound a little bit tired and a bit gruff. We are literally just back from the Billing Off Road Show 2024, and what a show it was.
I am tired, it has to be said.
Just washing the dust out of your eyes and your hair and everything. But the sign of a good show, I think.
Billing is always has always been an action-packed show, and this weekend has been fabulous.
Absolutely.
To say the least.
No exception. Just non-stop, always something going on, and that is one of the many things that make it as good as it is. We had, you know, obviously Land Rover Monthly. We work with Billing, the guys who own the farm and run the show there. We're sort of media partner, so help promote it. And then, you know, we do the show and tell on both days, don't we? That was good fun this year.
So we get to do the fun bit at the show.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah, it works quite well, doesn't it, when you think about it?
So basically, what you're saying is we drink beer, talk to people about Land Rovers, and camp.
Yeah, and we achieved all those.
And eat steak.
It is, yeah. We had we did not go hungry this weekend. That has to be said. We always joke about like the cake, two cake Tuesday and rubbish like that. But
yeah, but you do like a burger.
We didn't have any burger.
We didn't actually have a burger.
Where's chicken burger? Does that count? Is a chicken? No, it doesn't, does it?
It's sort of a vegetarian burger, isn't it?
What, a chicken burger? Yeah. Why? How's that vegetarian?
I don't know. It's almost chickens aren't vegetarian.
What, if something's not a cow, then it's vegetarian?
Will this bit stay in a podcast, I wonder?
Given how tired I am and how little editing I plan to do, it definitely will.
Obviously, this is Monday, and you'll be listening to this in about 48 hours from now. That's how close to the wire we are running.
Matchsticks propping my eyes open.
Good job this isn't actually filmed on camera, because we look a bit rough.
Well, you say that. It might be being filmed on camera. We spoke to so many people over the weekend. It was really, really good catching up with everyone. And I spoke to, funnily enough, a couple of weeks ago on one of our previous podcasts, we had YRM Metal Solutions hanging basket bracket.
Oh, yes.
They went through the auction, didn't they? Do you remember? Did you see that?
Well, it depends how many beers I'd had at that point.
So they every year at Billing, they do a massive charity auction in the evening on the Saturday night. And it's all...
That has grown. Oh, that auction has grown.
It went on for 2 hours this year.
And they didn't hang around. What I always laugh about is there's somebody donates dog biscuits by the box.
Yeah, so...
They're becoming like an infamous thing. Like every year, dog biscuits. People pay a lot of money for them.
All the lots are donated by tradies that go to the show. So there's all sorts of stuff from, like you just said, dog biscuits all the way to like shovels. The shovels were always popular. We donate a couple of subscriptions all the way up to like Exmoor trim. Gave away an interior, two seats.
That was fantastic.
It was lovely. Yeah, front seats, rear seats, cubby box. But anyway, YRM were giving away some of these brackets.
The hanging basket brackets shaped like a Land Rover.
And they went in the auction, and because they were wrapped up so tightly, the guys obviously trying to keep things moving didn't really get a chance to unwrap them properly, so they weren't making huge money because people couldn't see what they were. And they ended up, Ronnie Senior from YRM ended up bidding on his own stuff and getting them back.
Okay.
He was telling me... And Carly and Ronnie Jr. were telling me that they listened to our podcast non-stop from where they are up in County Durham all the way down to Billing in Northamptonshire. 4 hours of us yapping about Land Rovers.
What I was impressed was, when I asked Carly, did she fall asleep at any point as passenger in that car? She said no.
Well, I can't believe it, to be honest. I just think they've got what staying power. So thank you to everyone at YRM for putting up with us babbling about.
And thank you, actually, must go to all of the people who came up to the LRM stand and saw us at the show, having already listened to our podcasts. And it's just nice it makes you want to do more podcasts.
Absolutely. And that we had two very, very flashy new signs out the front, which advertising
our podcasts, yeah.
No, it's really, really nice to hear from people and get some feedback, and everyone's got ideas what we can chat about in the future. So it's all good.
A lot of good stuff to come.
Absolutely. But the rest of billing, like from start to finish, you're always doing something, and it's just such a great atmosphere.
It reminded me, so I first, and we've touched on this before on a podcast, I first drove to the, when it was on the Billing Aquadrome site, and obviously the Arrowsmiths used to run on the farm, the off-road side, and Overspill camping. And I first went to that show when I was 18 in a Series 2A lightweight, and it reminded me of those early days, and it's back. That festival aspect of it, the fun and the beer tent antics and people on Toylanders racing each other, and it just a doing show. It's an action-packed weekend, lots of beer, lots of laughs, lots of fantastic clubs.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there.
Just, you can't create that.
The festival, it is a festival, isn't it? It's like everyone is so game for a laugh, everyone's so up for it. You know, it's just really, really good. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. Sorry, you know, anyone who came up and had a chat, if we seemed like we were a bit preoccupied, there's always so many things that we need to be doing. It's difficult to stand in one place for too long, but it was just...
Basically trying to be in two places at once, and you might be talking to somebody, but you'll look out the corner of your eye and there's somebody waiting in the wings, which is lovely. We love it. We would never want that to go away.
And of course, getting people, you know, going around recruiting people for show and tell and things like that. We had some great, brilliant Land Rovers, and I think it was predominantly Land Rovers this year on show and tell.
Yeah, we didn't have any non-Land Rovers this year, which is... we're more than happy to talk about other 4x4s, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year we had a little Haflinger, didn't we? The little mini dinky 4x4 that looks like a bathtub with four wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was really cool.
Mitsubishi L200s we've had in the past.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of good stuff.
A couple of highlights, really, for me from show and tell. A guy called Tom brought over his P38 from Ireland.
Now, that did look amazing.
What a car. Whoa, I really like that.
We need to share. If we've got any pictures of that, we can share on our socials so anybody wants to see it.
Yeah, I'll
who did him, go to the show?
I'll give him a message. I kind of want to get that in the mag in the future, so I won't give away too much, but it's essentially he's put a lot of time and effort into that, and he's got a lot of very cool trips planned in it.
I reckon, in my opinion, that was probably the nicest looking P38 I've ever seen.
There's some good ones about, but...
There are some good ones
about. The nicest overall package... Still very, very daily drivable, but completely set up. You can jump in it and drive to Morocco, no problem. Really, really smart thing. And a very nice guy as well. So cheers for bringing that over, Tom. Obviously, not 5 minutes up the road from Ireland over to Northampton. But
yeah. What I liked is that he drove up the show and tell ramp from the side, which is quite a steep
angle. Yeah, we didn't plan that. And I didn't know it was going to happen. But normally the show and tell ramp is quite a shallow angle each side, so... You drive up one side, like an
option. And you're side on to anyone watching.
Side on to the crowd. We had a chat, and then you trundle off down the other side. We were getting ready and introducing him. This P38 just burst up the bank from behind us.
So that's quite steep.
Very steep. And very luckily, impressive. It just squeezed under the big inflatable show and tell banner that we had up.
The big archway.
Yes, that was a bit close. The old tent box might have been scraping slightly. But
the car of the show for me also came on to show and tell.
Go on.
So the original, appeared to be an original 110.
Oh, yeah.
County, sporting a BMW M57 engine.
Yeah, so looked totally
untouched.
Really, really nice original.
Original
thing.
Interior, clean, obviously resprayed. What colour brown is that?
Russet brown.
You call it russet, don't you? Russet brown and all the originals. So it would have been an A-reg, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
1983.
Yes.
110.
Yeah.
Originally had a 2.5 litre natural aspirated diesel, and we all know that they're sluggish.
Yeah.
And now it's a drivable car, and it's just fabulous to see stuff like that.
The only, other than you can just about see the intercooler through the front grille, but no other clues at all that that's got modern power. And what a great, you know, usable, powerful, fast, but totally...
Efficient.
Yeah, it would be. Totally, and a lot cleaner burning as well than an old...
I think that was a car of the show for me.
Yeah.
The one I would like to drive home in.
I would agree with you. It's up there. I don't know if I really have a car of the show. Do you know, it was really, really cool. Obviously, Discovery 1s and 2s have been enthusiast favourites for years and years off-road, and there's still plenty of them about.
There's loads, isn't there? I think the entire country's worth of modified discoveries was at that show.
I think so, yeah. We walked your son Jensen and Martin, the video guy, we walked down to the off-road, the lakeside course on the Saturday afternoon, baking hot. And the number of people in, well, it was all sorts of stuff, but predominantly Disco 2s, absolutely giving it the big un through the mud run and through
the popcorn exhaust.
Yeah, popping and wheels spinning, mud flying, you know, feet in the air. And it was just a spectacle. There's so many people just chilling down there with an ice cream, just watching for, you know.
It's amazing how long you can spend watching people drive through a mud hole, can't you?
But there's still so much variety, like. But it was funny because you see all this drama of, like, people revving smoke everywhere and popcorn limiter and huge chunky tyres and mud, you know, like I say, going absolutely everywhere and making a big drama. And, you know, it's great to watch, so no one's complaining. But then you get a family come through in, like, a short wheelbase Series 3 with the roof off, and they just sort of
trundle through
in second low and, like, make a song and dance.
Just shows there's more than one way to drive through the Billing mud hole.
There absolutely is. But
I've seen a few last night. I was looking on Instagram and saw some reels that people have posted, and from in-car footage of themselves driving through the mud hole. Predominantly, I saw quite a few Discovery 2 owners and passengers egging them on, saying, "Give it the beans." So obviously, yeah. You're seeing it from the outside, and then you see some Instagram reels from the inside, and you think, yeah, you're just getting sort of the red mist comes down.
That's it.
And you want to prove to your mates that you can drive off-road.
Get a bit excitable.
Yeah. And why not?
Absolutely.
If you're going to, like we touched about green laning the other day, and, you know, if you want to mess around in the mud and make a splash, and
there's a time and a place. Really, Billing off-road show is...
That's what it's for.
Because not only can you do that stuff and enjoy it, and, like, the mud run and the water splashes and stuff is only a small percentage of the overall course. There's all sorts of climbs and drop-offs, and you've got axle twisters and side slopes. It's a really, really smart technical course. And of course, Richard Arrowsmith built that years ago.
32 years ago, I think he's been running it.
And it's still as popular as it is, and it's great to see.
Definitely.
We love it. I can't wait for next year.
And we shouldn't obviously forget that some of the other off-road action is the boys from Challenge Southwest, the boys and girls, Challenge Southwest, who put on the passenger rides. So for those who haven't been to Billing before, basically, as a passenger, you get 2 laps around the course, which I think is about 2 miles a lap or something. Something crazy.
The course was long this year.
Yeah.
Because they'd made it more technical on purpose, a lot more tight turns and things to slow the overall speed down. Well, they said to slow the overall speed down, but watching it, you wouldn't think they were going any slower.
And I had a passenger ride in there whilst commentating. And obviously, that's going to be on our YouTube in a few weeks, I would think. We've got a lot of footage, haven't we, from Saturday, Sunday, or Friday and Saturday, sorry, to edit. I can't wait to see that video, because what an exhilarating passenger ride. I went round with Sam Webster from Goodwinch.
Yep.
So there's Will, his dad, and obviously Sam. And that man can drive. He really seriously can.
I was impressed, to be fair. I know you went for a passenger ride last year in Dave Billing's Tornado.
Yes, he did.
We didn't. You didn't commentate on the way round last year, I don't think, did you?
Yeah, and because that car, Dave Billing's car, isn't built as a challenge truck, we had to bypass some of the obstacles, so we took a wider path around.
Yeah.
And again, you know, both of those vehicles are sporting TD5 engines, ex-Discovery engines, and basically all they do, and I spoke to Sam about it, they don't mess with the engine's internals, but what they do is bigger turbos, remapped, and they're putting out about 250 horsepower.
Yeah, I can believe it. It's and the, like, people think, oh, they're just there to do demonstrations and do passenger rides, and they are, but that track and the duration at which those engines and those vehicles are running over 2 days non-stop, pretty much, apart from a break for lunch, it's a real test of endurance.
And that, they've actually said, despite the challenge that the challenges that they, the competitions that they enter, the true test of that car is ability.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely going to expose any weaknesses.
Absolutely.
In its cooling system particularly.
And they weren't sparing the horses, none of them were. And the obstacles look fantastic this year. Like sweeping bends, tight hairpins, there was obviously jumps, there was like a...
Really, really tight 180 degree bends. And what I really enjoyed is you're doing like a 180 degree right hand bend and then you're going into a left hand bend and you're basically driving through the dust you've created. I've eaten quite a lot of Billings dust now. Hence why my voice is probably going to give up this afternoon.
Whenever you get home from Billing, doesn't matter how windy it is or how hot it seems like all your clothes, everything, like you give it a good shake and it's just clouds of like this orange dust, but it's so
people thought I'd caught the sun, but I was just basically I look like a younger version of David Dickinson.
Well, I don't know about younger.
I am absolutely younger than David Dickinson.
Yeah, we had a really, really good time. And every year we go to Billing. Obviously, we are there to work and we're there to make it.
Engage with readers and listeners and basically the community.
But in the spirit of the festival, we do let our hair down in the evening. We try to be good. It never
happens.
With
all intentions, we're tired. I go in just for the one, yeah. Which is obviously always two.
Yeah, at least.
But this year, got a bit out of hand and took... I drank a bit too much. Where's real ale? There was like three or four choices on the Friday. Once they were gone, there was all a whole load more on the Saturday. It was like, whoa, okay. So we did drink some beer, didn't we?
Well, the thing is, once you've finished for the day as such, you want to chill out. You maybe have a beer at camp. You then go down the beer tent a little bit later. And, you know, you have a pint. And then you have another pint. And it's like, before you know it, it's just... It's like midnight and you're bit merry, shall we say.
Yeah. The next morning, yesterday morning, only yesterday morning, I did not feel myself.
Your Land Rover was behind you where you were sitting on your camping chair and it's quite difficult to tell the difference in the colour between that and your face.
My face was Coniston Green.
Yeah, Coniston Green, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you weren't in a good way, bless you. But
I know I'm getting on a bit now, 45 years old, and I shouldn't try and keep up with what I was when I was 25.
Well, luckily, our colleague Alice was on hand with some fantastic, she had like vitamins and things, and she was like plying us with lots of water to make sure
we've been looked after this weekend, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, great food, great beer.
Tell the story about your shower on Sunday morning?
Well, now you've said it, you're going to have to, aren't you? Thanks. As long as you stop at the story about the shower and none of the other stuff.
No, I will. I won't. So we're all sat around. I was not too bad, actually. Sunday morning, I knew I'd had a few beers, but I wasn't feeling nearly as ropey as Steve, and I certainly wasn't Coniston Green. He'd sort of come to life. He was sitting in his chair looking a bit sorry for himself. I kept telling him, go for a shower, you'll feel loads better.
It was about 9 o'clock yesterday morning. The people were coming through the pay gate. I was still in my roof of the bed pyjamas.
And his check pyjamas just looking like... And I was thinking, we need to do stuff soon. We've got Welcome to do. We've got to go and find Show and Tell. We've got, you know...
Judging the club. We had an important job.
We did. And I thought, I've got to get him up and about. So I said, go and have a shower. It'll transform you.
That's not all you told me to go and do.
No. But you know what I mean? We needed to get going. So finally he agrees, right, I'm going to go for a shower. Gets his stuff, disappears off to the shower block, which is not that far away. Well, I don't know, 200 metres? Probably not even
that. I don't know. I work in feet on the hold.
So he goes off for a shower. I get ready. We're sort of tidying up. And I look at the time and I think, Steve's been gone ages. What is he doing? I hope he's all right. Because, you know, you were tender, weren't you? You were suffering.
Yeah.
Your son, Jensen, came back from the showers. And I said, are you seeing your dad? And he was like, no. Anyway, waited longer. Still waiting. Where on earth is he? Eventually, you reappeared, having had a shower. Would you like to take over from here, or do you want
Basically, the trade showers, there's about probably 10 in a row on a trailer. And most mornings, you'd wait. There might be two or three people ahead of you, and people and the showers are occupied. And then you wait for a door to open, and you go in. This time, I stood out there. All the doors were shut. Oh, there's no queue. Fantastic, because I was a bit later in the day. I stood there for about 10 minutes, and I realised that no one was in the showers. The door, they were actually vacant. People were. People were going, and I thought, I can't wait any longer.
You came back.
I had a choice of 10 showers. I could have just gone in.
Where have you been? So I was just waiting outside a block of empty showers for no one to come out. Oh, God.
And I saw Ian Walker from Walker Components, the guy who has a trade stand with all the flashing lights, and he decided it would be fun to blow the air horns at me as I walked past, because he just looked at me and said, "Morning, Steve," shouting at full volume because he knew my head hurt a little bit.
Thankfully, after you had returned and we'd had we got some water in us and
came back to life pretty quickly. Actually,
yeah, and you know, it was a great day Sunday. Once we'd got past that initial little bump in the road, everything was fine, and we had an even better turnout on show and tell on Sunday than we did on Saturday, didn't we?
Saturday was a hot day,
yeah,
and there was a little bit of waiting, isn't there? Because we interview people one by one. There's not an arena as such. People can't just drive around. So you wait your turn. Yeah. So we did that, didn't we? Show and tell. Show and tell is really good, actually. Just you know, it's a nice sort of break for lunch, isn't it? For people to sit there eating and drinking and watching.
And you meet like a huge variety of people as well. Come up and show off their hand brothers. There was one lad, we actually met him in the beer tent on the Saturday night. He'd got a Discovery 2. And, you know, he's a youngish guy, and he's basically done everything on a budget, on a really, really tight budget. So he's got, like, a roof rack on it, but that was originally from a transit van. He'd bought it from Marketplace, modified it himself, and you wouldn't look at it, you wouldn't think it was not a proper Land Rover roof rack.
Basically, he's got it in his head now that everything needs to be done on a budget.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, doesn't it, how you can buy a Land Rover fairly cheaply, and it's providing you a bit kind of
savvy on the tools.
Good for me.
He'd been down his local breaker's yards and had a look around there. He got a winch bumper from there and a few other bits. He's done a really nice job on it, and like, he does green laning, and he wants to put a roof tent on it eventually and go off and do a bit of overlanding, a bit of overseas travel. So
many people spoke about Morocco wanting to go in their Land Rovers and building a vehicle with a view of going traveling to Morocco.
I think it's sort of the first overseas destination a lot of people go to, because it is, you know, it's still a long way away, but it's achievable in, you know, you could do 2 weeks there and come back, like make a holiday of it. You're not driving miles and miles and miles and miles before you even get to the interesting bit, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It's quite accessible. There's a lot of tour companies that offer guided tours around there if you'd rather go that direction, which a lot of people do.
I think I'd like to go.
You should. You've got the setup now, haven't you?
I don't know if I'd take a camping trailer.
Yeah, what?
Do you reckon?
It's proven itself now. Anyone who saw it
a camping trailer.
It actually is finally finished.
Well, it's
mostly finished.
I can go on holiday. In fact, I'm going on holiday on Friday in the camping trailer. Third weekend on the truck.
There you go. You're getting your money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, where we were parked, we were on a corner. So there was a walkway along the front. We were looking out onto the arena, weren't we? It was lovely.
Yes. Yep.
And then down the side, and our friend Ian from Cherished Vehicle Insurance came and saw us on the Sunday, didn't he?
He gave me a top tip.
He shared a top tip, didn't he?
Yes. You could share that
one. Okay. So Steve had parked his 90 with the trailer, separated from the trailer, but he'd got it sort of on the right-hand side of the stand. My Series 3 was on the left, so he'd sort of framed the LRM stand with our vehicles, and Steve had parked with the wheel sort of on lock, if you like, pointing out, so, you know, a bit of a jaunty angle, make it look a little bit interesting. And Ian said, "I'm going to show you a tip why you don't park with your wheel on full lock." And we went round to the Defender, and it looked like your front right wheel had been basted in dog wee.
Yeah,
because dogs see it as the perfect place to have a wee.
And they tend, because the wheel is essentially sticking out, it's they
like
wee up it.
Like a post.
Yeah.
So there, if you don't want your Land Rover to get weed on,
don't park with your wheels on full lock.
There you go. Top tip. Anyway, back to show and tell. We were really surprised, weren't we? That there was the Black Range of the Sport that came up.
Yes, that was a good. I liked that one.
Yeah. How many miles did that have?
It was on. It was 300,000 or 400,000.
400 and something. Definitely, yeah. 400 and something thousand miles.
The guy who owned it worked at an independent, didn't he? And he knew it from the years that they'd looked after it. And when the customer came to sell it, he thought, "Oh, I'll take that on." It was a really, really nice example to look at inside. I mean, didn't like get.
It defies its miles, doesn't it? The interior.
It really did. Yeah. And actually, bodywork wise, it was good as well. But it was. I sort of posed the question to him. You know, everyone wants to know: is it on its original engine? You know, the 3 liter TDV6 isn't exactly known for its longevity. And he said, yeah, and it didn't. The first one didn't pack up that long ago. And
I think it packed up at 360,000.
Yeah, that sounds. Yeah, I think that's right. And he said, you know, a car of that age and that mileage, it's not worth a ton of money, really, in the grand scheme. But the guy, the previous owner, was so impressed by it, and it was so perfect for what he did with it. Even at that sort of relatively low value, he saw the value in putting a proper crate Jaguar Land Rover engine in to replace the one that had packed up.
Yeah, so that car was worth more to him. Better than the devil you know. And sometimes we were speaking about, you know, normal cars now that are bought on PCP and, you know, Kias and Hyundais and all of that good stuff. You know, at 10 years old, those cars are fit for the scrapyard, whereas Land Rovers are probably one of the greenest cars, aren't they? Because you can just keep them on the road.
Absolutely. And
that's why we love them.
Everyone said when those, well, everyone says it when every new model comes out, oh, well, that won't still be going in 10, 15 years' time. And the fact is, they do. If they're looked after, they do carry on, which is, you know, one of the many reasons we love them.
Yeah.
But what else did we see? What else stood out for you at Billing this year?
Well, Arctic Trucks turned up.
Yes.
With quite a few really nice double cab trucks, as well as their newly launched Arctic Truck New Defender Edition.
Yes. Yeah, the AT35 Defender 110, which was really cool. It's one of those, actually. It's not as obvious that it's been Arctic trucked, if you like, as like the Hilux and the D-Max that they had on the stand.
Yeah.
It's quite subtly done. But when you actually get up close, the amount of engineering and rejigging of stuff they've had to do to make it still refined, and also, you know, that they're a proper company doing it. They're not someone at home doing it to their own.
Yeah, having
they're,
a go.
They're doing things to sell. And, you know, they're not cheap to buy. But everything, the fit and finish is lovely and really, really cool. So, yeah, that was a highlight for me as well. I couldn't wait to go and have
it. I heard that the conversion, now don't quote me, if you're interested in having a look at Arctic Trucks, have a look on their website. But a friend of mine was looking, and Andrew Robinson, he'll be listening to this, no doubt, in 48 hours' time. And I think they were talking to him about his, and £30,000 possibly plus the VAT for the conversion. So not cheap, but not many people would have it.
Well,
it'd certainly be a standout vehicle.
Oh, it definitely would. And actually, although I say it's quite subtly done, if you were to put that next to a standard one, it would be immediately obvious that it has been Arctic trucked.
And there are a lot of new Defenders on the road now, so you would stand out amongst all the others.
Definitely. And actually, if Andrew did his is a Carpathian V8 as well, isn't it? So
the only one in the country.
Imagine if you could do an Arctic Trucks Carpathian.
So what you're saying is, because we know Andrew will be listening.
Come on, Andrew, we want to see it.
Yeah,
basically.
And then we'll put it in LRM.
Thanks.
There you go, there's a deal.
Yeah.
Shall we try and spend Andrew's money right now?
If you could just drop your 30 grand on it so that we can get it in the mag, that'd be brilliant.
And then we'll take some enjoyment from convincing you to make the right choice.
I think it's called being a bad influence, isn't it?
Well, a good influence.
Yeah.
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 We are influencers.
Oh, don't say that.
We're not influencers.
No.
We just like what we like, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we do. And there's plenty to like at Billing. There was... Everywhere you look, what a show. If you've never been, and if you're into Land Rovers and you've never been to Billing, A, what have you been doing? And B, please.
You might be the next generation. So this is the thing. So you might only be 20 years old, and this might be your... You might not have the 30 years history on it that...
Well, I mean,
you have. I got quite 30. 28 years So you may not remember, but if it, that show has never been better.
Oh,
it does get better every year. And they always seem to book the weather. A bit like our own show, the LRM Live in May. We enjoy running that, but they are very different shows. So whatever form of Land Rovers or off-roading you're into,
yeah,
both shows are kind of literal and cheese in some respects.
They are in some respects, but it's still, you know, it doesn't matter.
Fundamentally, it's a shared passion, isn't it?
Amongst a bunch of people who are just in love Land Rovers, love off-roading, up for a laugh, good food, good beer.
Do you know what I quite like doing?
What's that?
On the Sunday morning, normally when I'm not so hungover, is judging the clubs.
Yes. And there's
a good, 30-odd clubs to choose from. And we, myself and Martin, we go round, don't we? And
we have the privileged job of picking a club to win Club of the Year.
I mean, the LRM 2024 trophy looked like it was solid silver this year.
It looked really, really...
Not only is the show getting bigger and better, the trophy is bigger and better.
And actually, clubs as well, the displays that clubs put on every year, they're more imaginative. There's a better, you know, range of vehicles. It is so hard to choose.
It is. It is a tough choice. And this year, we wandered up and down, didn't we, quite a few times, just to kind of make sure that we weren't missing one, or we wanted to ensure we saw all of them.
Yeah.
They take it quite seriously.
Definitely.
Because I know, you know, the reactions of the clubs who win or get shout-outs, it means such a lot to them.
Absolutely. And
there's a reason why they're in the club. They want to put on a good show for people, and
it was
for part of the fun.
For me this year, and I know you said the same yesterday, it was about not only getting people to walk past and go, wow, that's a great display, it's getting them engaged in something. And getting them doing something. So like...
Oh, the reason to stop by.
Absolutely. And then by the you stop by, you do something, or, you know, there's a bit of interaction, you get talking, you find common ground, and then you go, actually, this might be a club I want to be a part of. If you can achieve that, brilliant. Like, that's how you get that community feel and how you grow a club. So this year's winners were Beds, Hearts and Cams Land Rover Club. Great bunch of people.
Yes, yeah.
They had a little radio control course out the front, so any kids or adults could stop and have a go at that. They had like a seesaw to balance the little radio control defender on. And of course, they had a brilliant range of vehicles as well, including a very cool lightweight hybrid, which we had on the show and tell.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Really like that.
Yeah, it just a nice bunch of people. Very welcoming, very accommodating. So if you're in Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire or Cambridgeshire and you're not in a Land Rover club, consider giving them a shout and go to one of their events.
Worthwhile club to join.
Absolutely. And honourable mention, I think, to North Hants Off-Roaders.
Yes.
Their display was not interactive, but it was very, very cool.
They were almost winners.
Yeah.
Well, they were almost, you know, if there was three trophies, you would definitely give them a trophy.
Absolutely. They had they trailered a scrap Ford Focus.
Well, we hope it was scrap.
Oh, yeah.
My love, maybe someone's car.
I had a thought.
Well, I mean, Ford Focus is scrap, but it is a fact anyway.
Regardless of the background, this was on the corner of their stand and they had three huge challenge trucks propped up on it, you know, axles articulating everywhere. And it was just like, it made you stop and it went, you go, wow, that is really, really cool. So, you know, top
takes effort and take something like that and thought they haven't just turned up and parked up.
No, exactly. And it sort of reminded me of, do you remember back in, you know, the olden days where you got like a club would like put a big blue sheet on the ground that looked like water, and then they'd have like the back half of a Discovery cut off, and it looked like the Discovery had just plunged into this pool of water.
The club that used to do that,
was it Camisetti?
They used to use a Series 3, didn't they?
I've seen a Discovery. I can't recall seeing a Series 3, but
or they'd lay somebody underneath it looking like a mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the legs would be poking out.
There's anything like that.
May have been a mechanic.
Maybe.
There were a lot of breakdowns last night on the way home from...
We left at... Well, I can't remember.
Charles 6?
Yeah, it was getting on in the evening and we, you know, it's kind of... Everyone jokes about it, don't they? Oh, I hope you make it there. Well, making it back was clearly the problem.
I think the mud hole has something to do with it. blocking radiators.
There's a few clogged radiators, a few upset sensors, and maybe a bit of water where there should
alternators.
Yeah. But do you know what? We were driving back, and you said you I knew what you were going to say this morning when you said about it.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
What road was that on?
That was on the A605 towards from Northampton area towards Peterborough, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's so right.
Near Aldwell, Thrapston area.
That's it. We were so not that far from Billing, and we were sort of driving and looking at all these, you know, the occasional vehicle, and all their mates had pulled up to help them. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm seeing this group of people stood in a lay-by in the distance, and they're waving. And I got closer, and it's this group of girls. I think it was a disco too they had.
Yes,
it was. If they were broken down, they were in a fantastic mood, considering. And they were all giving it the old pulling down like for the horn.
So
you hammered the horn on the way past, and they all cheered. And it was just like, even how are they? Even if, you know, maybe they just stopped for an hour.
I don't think they'd broken down. There were no bonnets up. Because I looked, I thought, are they broken?
Yeah. Down.
But they were cheering. It was nice to see.
Even after the show, they were in a great mood. So
yeah, perhaps I didn't have as many beers as I had before.
You were not in a great mood on Sunday morning. But yeah, any other highlights for you? I'll tell you what a highlight for me was. As you know, huge range of traders at Billing. One of them that caught my eye, and I've met the owner before. The dyno day that we did a couple of years ago at Shropshire Automotive, Mac 4x4 welding. Have you seen? Ooh, they were just up from us.
Yeah, they were.
Doing amazing things with Discoveries, Discovery 1 and 2. The quality of what they're doing is just like next level. And it's so good to see the effort and time that people mostly put into Defenders and Series applied to Discoveries. Yeah, that's up my street.
Yeah, no, there was. Just so there was such a, I mean, obviously for us, we struggle, don't we, to look around for ourselves.
Because, very, very much so, yeah.
You know, which is fortunate because you could spend some serious money.
You could, definitely. It's one of them, I mean, you've got an element of Auto Jumble, and we know what it's like, obviously, running Auto Jumble events, the 4x4 vintage and spares days, of which we run throughout, you know, pretty much each end of the year.
Each end of the year. They tend to be better served in the winter months when people are running projects and they're not showing their vehicles, but they're fixing them or rummaging around. So check out Land Rover Monthly's website for any spares days, the future events. I know we've got 3 in October.
Yeah, it's busy.
We have the Newbury one, Malvern and Ripon. Ripon's in the middle of the month.
But it's so easy to get.
Yeah.
You know, you go, oh, just go for a quick walk and see what's about. And before you know it, you're 5 minutes in and you've made no progress because you're so engrossed in looking at something.
I saw that our friends at Mayer Chassis, they've launched a stainless steel bulkhead.
Yes.
Which I really, really liked.
Very smart. If you've ever seen Mayer's stand and you can't really miss it, it's a giant.
It's probably one of the largest stands, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. It's a huge red sort of.
Right, 30 chassis on display.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be delivering those chassis now for the next
lucky customers.
Few days. All those lucky people out there embarking on new rebuilds.
Yeah, and they're still, you know, people are still really hot on restorations and rebuilds, keeping Land Rovers going.
I saw lots of freshly turned out cars. People have obviously, you know, got them ready for the show as a sort of, like I suppose, like I did with my camping trailer, that I had to be ready. And, you know, I was bonding on trim and panels the night before and fitting my the new Tough Trek awning. You know, finished that at 9 p.m. on the Thursday night and I was driving to the show on Friday, you know, cutting it close to the wire. And
it worked really well, though. I was quite jealous of you.
Yeah, it was a nice little setup. Lots of tweaks to make. We realised we've got no lights. I went and saw my friend.
Go and see Ian Walker.
Ian Walker. So I made a purchase. I bought some lights.
I love Ian's stand because even if you don't see him, you can hear him because he's got all sorts of, like what you said.
A lot of the sample lights and sample horns to press. So all on separate switches. So
the kids love it.
And his customers
try everything out, can't you?
Yeah. So I went along and I found some flat LED lights. So basically, that awning light as well, and it turns to amber to keep the bugs away, and white, so the two colours. Just going to wire some electrics into it now, but it just gets you thinking. I saw loads of camping trailers.
Yeah, yeah. They're...
Do you see those expensive, like, well, they're purpose-built ones?
Yes, yeah, they're proper, like, off-road expedition trailers, aren't they?
Yeah, fantastic.
Very, very impressive bit of kit.
But they're, like, £30,000.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit, isn't it?
There is a limit. Yeah, well, the sky isn't the limit, but, you know, yeah, for those who don't want to set light to their trousers welding like yeah, I did, you know.
Covered in, sort of, in sealant and,
yeah,
you know, holes in bits of metal.
Just go and buy one.
Just go and buy one. Save yourself a load of time and hassle.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was, great selection of stuff. And again, the off-roading is a huge part of what makes up that show. And it got me thinking, actually, of repairs that you have to do, or if repairs that you have done, that you know we said about the radiator is getting filled up with mud, engine gets hot, things don't get very happy, you have to flush it out and whatever else. So have you ever had a repair that you've had to effect from off-roading or otherwise whilst out Land Rovering?
I have, actually.
Okay.
But it wasn't a repair. Now, this is really weird. It's actually, when I bought my Series 3 from auction,
yeah,
something that went wrong with that, I was on a Green Lane once, and not long afterwards, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the steering wheel was just wrenched out of my hands, and I careered off the road,
right,
luckily onto the big sort of common ground, so there's a big grass area to my left, and it yanked me to the left. And would it be the stub axle on the front axle had sheared or broken?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it locked the wheel.
Right.
But it threw me off the road.
How did you sort that out then? Did you? I mean, that's a fairly significant component, isn't it?
So many years ago, I can't remember. Yeah, major.
Do you think the wheel bearing locked up and it broke, it damaged the stub? I've had that happen before. That's quite scary.
Yeah, it yanked the steering wheel straight out of my hand and just I careered off the road. I can't remember how we did it. I think I got traded somewhere.
Right.
But luckily, there's a chap that used to sell bits of Land Rover, and that happened on a Saturday, and we were back on the road and fixed on the Sunday.
Oh, that's all right.
So, yeah.
Days. That's the great thing about Land Rover.
Yeah, definitely.
People who are into them or know about them tend to have a decent stack of stuff that you can rifle through and get moving again.
But I can't remember any breaking anything off-road, necessarily.
I can. Do you want to hear my story?
Yeah, I do.
Breaking something off-road. Generally speaking, I'm quite lucky, and I'm not harsh. I'm fairly mechanically sympathetic about when I'm driving off-road. But I had TD590 at the time, and we were at Yarwell Quarry. Do you remember Yarwell when that was open?
Yes, yeah.
Really, really good pay and play site. Quite sandy, very muddy, lots of water about, having an absolutely brilliant day. And we were sort of getting to the point where we needed to wrap up because the site shut at 4. So we were just having one last little play, one last lap around. And I came out of a shallow puddle and turned to go towards the car park where we were going to get packed up and exit and go home. And I was steering left, and it was like understeering. And I thought, that's a bit weird. Like, it's not particularly slippery. It's quite gravelly. Why was my steering gone all vague? So I got back to the car park. I looked underneath, and the Panhard rod, which centres the axle on the chassis, stops it moving side to side.
Yep.
The bracket, which is on the axle, which it bolts through, had rotted off and completely come off the axle casing.
Scary.
Yes. And obviously not a quick fix, because it's an axle casing. You can't just, you know, bolt it back on. You can't bolt the bracket back on. It's sheared off. I don't know how I did it. I think it was just weakened from corrosion. I hadn't had the vehicle that long, so perhaps should have checked it over better before going. But anyway, the site people wanted us out, which is fine. We got it up to the grass verge. I was with a group of mates, thankfully. I think two other vehicles. And one of my mates said, that's not a problem. I'll ring the AA. I've got any car cover if you need.
You just needed to sit.
Just needed to be in my vehicle.
A personal cover, I think they call it.
So rang them up and they went, yeah,
And then I don't know how long ago later it was, half hour, 45 minutes. They turned up, took one look at our three Land Rovers on the side of the road, absolutely coated in mud, and went, no chance, you've been competing or you've been off-roading or you've been breaking the rules of your breakdown contract. We're not doing anything. We're not picking
up. Oh, right. Okay.
So that was that idea out the window. Luckily, it was in the middle of summer, so the evenings were long. There was lots of light. We thought, what can we do? So we rang around a lot of independent breakdown companies, and they all wanted tons of money to come and get us. Obviously, it was a Sunday night.
Yeah.
I was keen to not spend, you know, three...
any money, knowing you.
I was hoping to not spend loads of money to get it recovered home. So we ended up... one of the guys I was with, a friend of mine I've known for years, Sam, walked... either, I can't remember if he walked to the farm or a farmer came past, and he said, "Oh, I've got a stick welder and a generator. Can you? I'll bring it up." So he brought us this welder. I think he just left it with us. He was a very trusting man, and we sort of found things in our Land Rovers that resembled metal that we could use to patch this crusty old Panhard rod bracket back onto the axle. It was like all sorts of, I don't know, bits like old bolts and things like that, bits of metal, anything we could find to try and stick it back on. And we ended up looping ratchet straps over the between the turret, in just inside of the inboard of the shock turret, round and under the axle where the radius arms are, and we tightened them as much as we could to force the springs down. And we all got on one side of the Land Rover and we shook it to make sure it wasn't going anywhere, to make sure it was locked down solid enough. And we very, very carefully drove it home at 30 miles an hour with a car in front and a car behind.
Wow.
It was scary, and it was something I'd never like to do again. It's one of those things you do when you're young, isn't it? Now, if it happened now, I would just not bother and I'd call recovery, but I was a poor apprentice.
And pay.
Yeah,
yeah, pay them just to get home.
Get it done properly, yeah. And I'd encourage anyone else to do the same. But when you've got no money and you just need to get home, that's what you do.
Mm.
That's probably the biggest one I've had. I don't think I've probably have had other. Alternators getting full of mud, radiators getting full of mud. I've never hydraulicked an engine.
No.
I know people that have. I've been with people where they've done.
Yeah. The founding editor of Land Rover Monthly hydraulics his 200 TDI 90.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
At least with the TDI, they're quite forgiving. They tend to just bend the...
Yeah, it wasn't a major repair, I don't think.
Oh, if you're really lucky, you can just pull the glow plugs out, spin it over, and all the water comes out, and then you crack on again. If you're unlucky, it bends the push rods, but, I mean, that's no huge job to
pay.
Sort that out.
Good old TDIs.
Good old TDI. You can't beat a TDI, in my opinion, but... yeah, so what else have you been up to? Anything exciting happening in your world? We've been busy, haven't we?
Do you know what?
I've seen more of you than I've seen of my wife over the last few weekends.
That's not a good sign.
No, it really isn't.
No.
Sick of the sight of you.
So basically, after we finish this podcast, that is it. Don't set eyes on me. So magazine goes to press this week, doesn't it? The next issue?
Yeah, the September issue.
Let's go. September issue on sale in...
just the world. Everyone looks at me like I've grown an extra head when I say what issue's coming out, and that's because there's 13 issues and there's 12 months,
and we get away, don't we? So the next issue,
yes,
that's goes to press Thursday. So straight back from billing, straight into press week, which is always a bit of a deadline,
always a stressful one.
Yeah. Then I'm going on a holiday on Friday, and I'm going camping, and I'm going to go to Whitby.
You go to Whitby?
Yorkshire. Yeah.
Very nice.
I love going up there.
I've only been to Whitby once, and that was on a coast-to-coast green laning trip that we did.
Right, okay.
And we didn't stay long, but I wish I had, because it looks stunning.
Yeah, I always go there, and I say always. I went actually on there. I drove there on Boxing Day night and had sort of a late Christmas three-night break in Whitby. Didn't take the Land Rover this time. But I'm going to check out, I like Gothland, where Heartbeat was filmed.
Oh, yeah.
I like going there, have a wander around, and there's lots of green lanes around there.
Is there?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I came in on a green lane when I went there.
Yeah.
I've not really had a chance to explore it very much.
I'm just going to chill out, really. I might not even talk about Land Rovers for the entire
You'll end up doing it. It always happens.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to design a few things for the camping trailer.
Well, this is part of the fun, isn't it? Now you've got the base shell of it there. It's all about sort of developing it into...
I'm going to take a pad of paper, a tape measure, and I'm going to measure a few things up. So I want to fit some solar panels, and I want to fit the electrics, but I also want to fit a drawer system in the back.
Right, okay.
Made from ply on some, like, drawers, like a drawer runners.
Oh, yeah.
But that needs measuring, and it needs working out what I can get away with. So, yeah, the next phase of that, I want to fit the lights, obviously, at some point, wire in some electrics. So camping with it for the next few days when I'm not working will tell me what I need and don't need.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And what works and what doesn't work. The Land Rover is desperate for a wash. It's got the boom dust on.
Very dusty still, isn't it? Mine's desperate for a wash because we took it off-roading on the Friday for some video that we did, and it is still absolutely coated in mud.
Well, say, your Land Rover is desperate for a rebuild.
Yes.
That's a bit harsh, wasn't it? Was that below
really. Do you know what always astounds me about my Land, my Series 3, is I don't use it as much as I should in the week. I should use it more for just local running about. But I can jump in it. For a Series Land Rover, it drives so well. And even though it's scruffy and it's got lumps of filler coming out of the tub and, like, it's, you know, the... One of the windscreen panels is held in with, like, black mastic, and it's got rusty wheels. It gets loads of nice positive comments, and it makes
me feel really nice about it.
Because it, yeah, I don't know. It just
perhaps it's because there's not so many battered old Land Rovers around anymore.
Maybe
some of them have been restored, or they look too clean. And
I also think the fact that it's got a big winch and quite big tyres.
It's quite a menacing looking thing.
It's kids love it. They're like, oh, look at that, and they go and you know, they, the fact that it looks so almost like Tonka toy, like chunky.
When you started it up yesterday, I was when we were leaving.
Oh yeah,
you were warming it up a little bit, weren't you? Just kind of, and it sounded so nice.
Yeah, I have got to do a little bit of work on the exhaust when I take it to bits, which will be soon, because I remade the passenger side downpipe when I first got it, because it was like an absolute patchwork of, it was horrible. So I want to revise that. But yeah, I'm pleased with it generally. And I've been loads of different places. I've been up to Wales in that. I've been...
You came to Malvern.
Yes. You know, do the spares days, Newbury. And it just drives really, really nicely. So I'm very happy with it. And again, it's proved itself once again, a fine machine at Billing, conquered the Riverside course. Although I did have to shunt around a couple of courses.
Quite a tight course.
Quite long, and the steering lock is awful. But yeah, no, I'm really happy with that. So thank you to everyone who came and had a look at it. And
just generally thank you for everybody that's engaged with us over the weekend. We had fun. You make our job less job-like. Really.
Absolutely. You really do. Yeah. Mm. It's the sort of...
It's what we do it for.
Yeah. It's lovely. Yeah. It's really, really nice. So you were saying about slide-out drawers and stuff for your trailer.
Mm.
That brings me nicely onto Product of the Week.
Product of the Week. We should get a jingle for Product of the Week.
Product of the Week.
Make us sound more professional.
This is a slide-out kitchen. You should actually get one of these instead.
Okay.
So it probably costs the same amount as the entire trailer build so far, but it's very, very
good. Right, okay.
So this...
Might be an excuse to ask for a pay rise.
Yeah.
If our bosses are listening.
If you're getting me one as well. Yeah.
Okay. We'll buy two.
Sounds good. It's... ARB, so you know it's going to be good quality.
I was sitting on some ARB chairs this week.
Is your fridge ARB as well?
No, that's a
Dometic, right?
But my new camping chair is ARB, really, really good.
I tried your ARB chair out as well, and it is lovely.
It's just properly solid, so you know you're buying quality.
This thing is a kitchen, slide-out kitchen, so it's not just a drawer, it's not just a fridge slide, it's a complete workspace with a fridge slide built in and drawers and all sorts. And it has got 3 burner hob, kitchen sink, so everything including the kitchen sink.
Yeah,
fantastic. Again, loads and loads of storage, proper work surface, and it matches the other drawer units that ARB sell. So you can, it's like modular, you can add it in if you've already got the other drawers.
Oh, I see. Yes,
it looks really, really smart. So if you've got, I dare say that would fit any Land Rover with a bit of measuring up and a bit of trimming. LRSoffroad.co.uk, our friends Derek and Rachel,
Yeah, we saw him last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did at Shelby.
Let's carry on with products of the week because we digress.
We do digress, and yeah. Very easily. I haven't really got a lot more to say about it, apart from if you want more information, it's in the August issue, which is the current issue of Land Rover Monthly. So be sure to give that a look.
It does look very nice.
It's very, very cool. Definitely, definitely have a look at that. But yeah, so as if, I mean, we've harped on about billing, but last weekend we were at Shelsey Welch, weren't we?
You could argue we worked for like 3 weeks solid.
It's not really work though, is it?
Well, don't tell them that.
No, I suppose not. We won't.
A boss that might be listening. We need them to think that we've been working very, very hard.
Look like you were working that hard on Sunday morning when you were basically.
I was working hard to survive, to keep myself composed.
Yeah. But that was a really, really, really fun day, Shelsey.
So last weekend, Shelsey Welch.
We on the last podcast we mentioned we were going, I think.
We probably did. And now we've been.
Oh, what a lineup of machinery that had there.
Yes.
My friend Matt Tompkins from Practical Classics, he took his Austin 7 special along for a rip up the hill, which he achieved. What a cool little car.
Yes, very nice.
Of course, Britpart hosting. Fantastic selection of Land Rovers on their stand. Some really, really
Paul the MD's racer.
Yes, yeah, his off-road racer was there. It was a couple of very, very smart Range Rover classics that had been done.
Mm.
A sort of fast road spec. One was a fast road type thing. I know the owner does track days in it. I'm going to have a chat with him actually about getting that in the mag.
So our friend Henry Cole from Shed and Buried and Fuzz Townsend.
Yes.
And of course, more famous than that, Wayne Scott.
Wayne Scott, LRM live compare to the stars. Absolute legend of a man. He was there on the mic. Did a fantastic job. Again, just such a... Just the community feel at any of these events is so great. It just makes you want to go to more of them. But there's only so many weekends in a year, isn't there?
I've worked out the year isn't long enough.
And it's not. There's not enough.
If I could reinvent it, I'd make my year longer.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. If I had the powers...
And I think it really highlights, because sometimes I get in a bit of a rut, anything. I just want to stay at home and do very little or do those jobs. Even
I've always said you were lazy.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm so lazy, Steve.
But no, my love of lightweight E-types not gone away because they were there. Yeah. So the guys from SM.
Physically drooling.
Oh, yeah. I had a quick Google how much they are. I would need to sell my house and live in a wheelie bin.
They do say you can live in a car, but you can't drive a house.
Yes. So what are you saying? I'm just going
to apply that to a lightweight.
I could go live in my wheelie bin and...
No, live in the E-Type. I don't think it would be that spacious, though, would it?
Not for me.
Do they have, like, fixed back aluminium bucket seats? That'd be well uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's just... I wouldn't drive it. I'd just look at it.
Look at it.
Just yeah. So, fantastic event. So... They're look out for dates for that for next year. So
yes, the Lucas Classic is its proper name.
Lucas Classic, in collaboration with Brits Part and
SG Barrett,
SNG Barrett.
Oh,
the Jaguar specialists. Yes, fantastic display of vehicles. Lots of Land Rovers, lots of Jaguar.
Yeah,
lots of
if you like motorsport or cars.
Yeah, just generally the noise and the smell and just the social aspect. What a fantastic day out.
Yeah, it was really, really cracking day. And so now I think we've earned a bit of a rest, really, haven't we? Once the mag's gone to press, once this podcast's out, we can finally have a little bit of downtime before the next wave of calls that we get to go and do.
What is quite scary is so the podcast in another week's time will need to be recorded very soon.
Yeah, we might do it remotely. We could do like a Teams one because you'll be on your holidays.
I do not want to hear the ringtone of Teams whilst I'm on holiday.
Well,
I think that is the worst noise in existence.
Well,
anyone that's got Teams, that ringtone is dire.
Strikes fear into your heart.
It's a bit like the earlier Nokia phone ringtone. Yeah, but can you do the Teams?
No, it's not a chance.
That's awful noise.
Anyway, we don't want to end on a negative note, but thanks again to everyone that came and saw us at Billing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reading the magazine. We had a cracking subs deal on, didn't we, at Billing?
We did. We absolutely did. And everyone wanted to look like us.
I know everyone was keen for the LRM hat. So
yeah.
Keep an eye out for a future event where you can bag yourself a very, very stylish and practical LRM baseball cap.
Yes.
They are rather lovely.
you're fully on brand.
Absolutely, yeah. Fighting the good fight.
Yes.
But no, for now, thanks again for listening. Catch you on the next one.
We'll see you soon.